Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Walleye, A Beautiful Fish of the Dark, by Paul J. Radomski, narrated by David Colacci. Preface. There are more than 34,000 species of fish, and we are a better, more intelligent species because of their existence and diversity. Their presence lures us out on the water for sport and sustenance. Freshwater fish are abundant in most ponds, lakes, streams, and rivers. But few fish have as loyal a following as the walleye. The walleye, or by its scientific name Sander vitreus, is the official state or provincial fish of Manitoba, Minnesota, Saskatchewan, South Dakota, and Vermont. Many towns claim to be the walleye capital of the world, and several walleye statues are scattered across the north to appeal to tourists. Walleye fishing is a challenge. Many anglers spend considerable time honing their walleye fishing skills, and they will travel great distances to fish waters where the bite is good. But perhaps most important, walleye are a delicacy, leading to sustenance harvest for meals with family and friends, and commercial harvest for a spot on the menu in restaurants and bars. Walleye are fish of large rivers and large northern lakes. As a scientist, I'm amazed by walleye, and I'm a better, more intelligent person because of their existence and abundance. Their nature is fascinating, full of stunning and counterintuitive facts. The name walleye denotes the uniqueness and importance of this fish's eyes, which evolved to better see in low light conditions and dark water environments. People who view walleye as the lion of the lakes are often surprised to learn that rivers are their ancestral habitat. Walleye are river fish that adapted to large, cool water lakes. This book begins with an exploration of the walleye, what they are, where they exist, how they survive, and how people have come to depend on them. I have caught and handled thousands of walleye, and it would be fair to say that I have indisputable walleye fishing skills. I'll describe various ways of catching walleye. The second part of this book explores the principles and pitfalls of managing this dweller of the dark. I start with why walleye are stocked. Since stocking is intoxicating, I'll discuss its history and methods, and then deliver perspectives on when and where walleye stocking is prudent. Next, I cover protecting and restoring walleye habitat. Walleye are wild, and their habitat is threatened. We live in unprecedented times. Our endless pursuit of the more is better axiom discounts future generations, walleye, and the rest of nature. We have polluted our planet at a global scale, fouled its waters with farm and urban runoff, and contaminated them all with chemicals that accumulate faster than nature can bury them or break them down. If walleye can't survive and thrive, maybe we can't either. Our fates are entangled. With more than spooky action at a distance of a rodcast, for the health of us both is dependent on the wellness of our only home. I provide some local habitat protection and restoration solutions, and discuss replacing our more is better axiom with one that expands our rights to future generations, walleye, and the rest of nature to increase their odds of flourishing. This part then moves to the common ways to manage walleye harvest, and through the use of fisheries dynamic science, how best to manage people to foster sustainable harvests. There are thousands of waters where walleye exist with associated fisheries. A fishery is made up of fish plus humans. It is a complex, dynamic, socioeconomic, and biological system. For some fisheries, the facts are clear and the way forward lit. For others, there are mysteries that confront our comprehension and uncertainties that confound our conjecture. That is to say, sometimes we are in the dark. The third part of this book highlights three walleye fisheries, one from Wisconsin, Lake Winnebago, and two from Minnesota, Mille Lacs and Red Lake. I provide a glimpse of their opportunities for fishing and talk with experts who have been involved in their management. Biologists managing these fisheries are working hard to understand their dynamics and to provide great places to fish, but these efforts come with complications. These fisheries reflect some of the management challenges that many other fisheries, from walleye lakes in the upper Midwest to Canada, may experience. Plan to visit these lakes and other walleye waters. Explore walleye fisheries close to home and those in distant places. Live according to nature. Our interactions with others and with the rest of nature should be governed by practicing the four cardinal virtues: courage, justice, self-control, and wisdom. For more than three decades, I've worked as a fish biologist and lake ecologist. I have served as Minnesota's lead scientific expert on lake habitat management issues, and I've worked with many lake lovers to protect and restore shorelines, water quality, and walleye populations. My job as a scientist has given me the opportunity to gain a deeper appreciation of walleye and nature. I see great beauty in nature and in the mathematical patterns expressed by plants, animals, and ecosystems. I've always thought of my job as more than a profession. It is a calling to tend nature. At a young age, I wanted to be a state agency biologist dedicated to restoring and protecting lakes, rivers, and wildlife. Today, I'm an apostle of lake and walleye. This book was conceived as a means to spread the word about walleye fishing, biology, and management. Are you one who can find beauty in a fish? Maybe you've never thought much about walleye. Or maybe you're the first one out on the lake during the fishing opener year after year. Whether you're a casual angler or someone who lives for the tug of a walleye on your line, I hope you will find something of interest in this book. While I understand walleye biology and fisheries management, this book looks beyond the science to real-world opportunities for reducing pollution, protecting fish habitat, and increasing angler involvement in fisheries management decisions. It was written for a broad and diverse audience, but many of its lessons are also applicable to fisheries biologists and managers. This book aims to serve two purposes. First, to beach the knowledge of walleye on a safe shore for non-scientists to examine and appreciate, and second, to row out and then drift offshore to obtain a different perspective of walleye beyond just a fish to catch at the cabin or resort or a menu item at a restaurant. I believe that this shared journey can lead to a greater appreciation of nature. Walleye are the vessel for this communion, as they are a beautiful fish of the dark. Part 1. The Fish of Interest. 1. The World of Walleye. Understanding a Favorite Fish. Why a fascination with walleye? This fish has not substantially altered the world, unlike the Atlantic cod, which has influenced world economies and politics for hundreds of years. The freshwater living walleye could not compete with this prolific ocean fish in captivating industry. Fishing for walleye has not been glamorized in literature and movies, unlike fly fishing for stream trout, as in Norman MacLean's story, A River Runs Through It. The use of minnow and hook to catch walleye can't compete with the apparent elegance of fishing with lures that mimic drifting or emerging insects. The beauty of walleye has not yet been appreciated by a diversity of artists, unlike the dedication of artists who draw, paint, or carve other animals. Many walleye paintings show this fish grimacing with its tail bent back at 90 degrees, spiny dorsal fin extended, mouth agape, and gills flared. Works of art of brook trout often just celebrate the colors of this fish's skin. Despite these facts, walleye have creeled the minds of anglers throughout northern waters. Walleye are fascinating because of their physical beauty, their interesting adaptations, and the fine fillets they produce for our palate. In this chapter, I'll cover each of these topics, and then I'll discuss the importance of walleye in commercial, tribal, and sport fisheries. In the stark winter whiteness, I pull a fish up through a spiral-scarred ice hole, and a walleye amazes. Their vitality and vividness fresh out of water are powerful, enough to tug one's consciousness to put them back down the long hole into the dark from which they were pulled. They do not belong in the air. They are built to fly in cool waters. While I have a fusiform shape, a slender body with a two-eyed dominant head, two dorsal fins, and a slightly forked tail, they will occasionally grow to a length greater than 2 feet, 0.6 meters, and only these big fish get chunky. A rare walleye will exceed 15 pounds, 6.8 kilograms. I've caught some monster walleye in my day job of assessing and managing fish populations. With each of these fish, there was a sense of urgency to measure and record her attributes, which were written down on wet paper before she was quickly baptized at the side of the boat and released into the sanctum. Length and weight were recorded, and in some cases a tag number, proof of an earlier encounter with a biologist. Many of these unique fish are likely long dead, but memories of them endure. Like birds of prey, walleye have evolved over time with a kind of stealth engineering. They are colored to avoid detection. The dorsal is dark and the belly is white or yellowed white. Predators or prey swimming above are less likely to observe a walleye, as the dark dorsal blends in with the dark background, and those below may not see the white underside of the walleye against the diffused lightscape of the top water and pale sky. Ichthyologists call this color pattern countershading. The pale underside extends to the lower parts of the pelvic fin, anal fin, and especially the tail, which is brilliantly white-tipped. The rest of the tail has alternating spots of yellow and black. Depending on water transparency and inheritance, the sides are colored like a silt-covered beach, gray-brown speckled with gold or olive-brown and silver. Living in clear water inspires a greater expression of color in walleye. In youth, the sides are sometimes mottled with obvious black or dark saddle-shaped blotches. Walleye are almost totally covered with scales. Only the fins and portions of the gill covers are scaleless. The walleye scales provide radiance and camouflage. Some fish that walleye prey on, like the various species of minnows, have scales that reflect and distract. Walleye are colored to blend in and evade. They are not showy or fanciful. They express functional beauty. The scales of the walleye expand as the fish grows. Fisheries biologists use this fact to estimate the age of younger walleye. It is often possible to see the distinctive annuli on the scales, formed during the low growth periods of winter. The annuli are testament of relative time, a record used by biologists working in their laboratories. The scales form an overlapping head-to-tail pattern, providing skin protection and improved hydrodynamics that reduces drag to conserve energy. The anterior edges of the scales are embedded in the skin, and walleye, like many fish, have an epidermis that covers the scales and excretes a slimy, slippery mucus. This mucus has many functions, including protection from pathogens and environmental toxins. Walleye scales also have small teeth at the posterior edges. For this reason, walleye have a rough surface to the touch, similar to sandpaper in texture. The bigger the walleye, the rougher they are. The fins express a fish's thoughts. When walleye are aggressive, defensive, or in pursuit of prey, they erect their dorsal fins. These fins will pop up or lie down as fast as a dragonfly jet. The anterior spinal dorsal fin is composed of a dozen or more sharp spines. The membranes between the spines are thin and diffusely dark, but blacker at the margin and at the posterior base of the fin. The second soft dorsal fin begins with one or two spines and continues with about 20 soft rays that support black-spotted membranes in rows on a translucent sunset canvas. To keep the fish upright, the anal fin is usually extended. This light-colored fin has two spines anterior and about a dozen soft rays. Up front, the pelvic fins are extended at various degrees depending on the intended flight or kill path, and any movement of the side-located pectoral fins indicates subtle changes to direction, including backing up. The walleye head means business. Wide and stout before tapering to a blunt point, it is a quarter of the walleye's total length. The head is armed and self-aware. Two bones supporting the gill covers are weaponized, with one closest to the mouth serrated on the posterior edge, and the other equipped with a short spine located near the edge of the gill cover opening. The mouth and jaw are large, like a baseball mitt, designed to improve the odds of a catch with a desperate grab. Dagger-like teeth are spaced out on the jaw and the roof of the mouth, with many teeth curved inward to better hold the surprised and desperate smaller fish caught within. While I have color vision and see the longer wavelengths of light, short to long, blue, green, yellow, orange, red, but not the light in the ultraviolet range or infrared. A walleye's peak light sensitivity is for wavelengths in the green portion of the spectrum, which, not surprisingly, is the same portion of the light spectrum that penetrates deepest into lakes. Their large eyes allow more light to enter and are positioned on the head to look primarily to the sides, limiting binocular vision up close. Walleye eyes can appear glossy or cloudy, depending on your charity. The eye's pupil, the opening of the iris to the lens, is fixed in size, an unwavering and round dark aperture into a foreign point of view. The lens is rigid and spherical, better at focusing on the near than the far. Rimming the pupil, the iris is a luminescent gold ring. There is no white of the eye to communicate fear. Walleye live in a world heavy with twilight and thick with darkness. Water scatters and absorbs radiant energy, so the available light diminishes with water depth. The wavelengths of the light that penetrate the depths will shift depending on the quantities of dissolved organic matter in the water. In clear water, blue light is more available, and in dark, stained waters of the north, yellow and red light dominates. There are no bright, sunny days in the underworld like those experienced by land animals. Walleye, though, are adapted to the dark, and they are predators of the waning light. The walleye retina reflects light. This back-of-the-eye reflector increases the amount of light hitting the cells of the eye that convert light into electrical signals, as this adaptation gives additional chances for ricocheting light within the eye to hit a rod or cone photosensitive cell. Those with this adaptation have better vision in low-light conditions. Humans do not have this adaptation, but many animals do, including cats, dogs, and horses. Seeing life on the murky boulder fields and within the dimly lit pondweed forest canopies is an evolutionary gift, especially when others don't possess the trait. Walleye hunt in very low light conditions, and the fish they seek lack specialized eyes. Most of their fish-eating competitors also lack this gift. Walleye have the strategic advantage at night and in low light conditions, allowing them to hunt unseeing yellow perch and other prey, while remaining safe from ambushes by northern pike and other large predators. Like light, the transmission and reception of sound are different in water. Fish have adapted to hearing sounds in water, and humans have adapted to hearing sounds in air. Stop wondering, there is a difference. Fish have ears in their head but not on their head, whereas people have both, along with ear holes. The speed of sound is quicker in water, approximately 4.3 times faster than in air. Water also has lower compressibility than air, which allows the compression wave to gallop in water rather than trot as it does in the air. A human in the water has a hard time determining the origin of a sound because their reliance on small middle ear bones for hearing prevents them from picking up the difference in sound arrival time between the left and right ear. Walleye, like many fish, have a set of three different large otolith inner bones on either side of the skull. These bones are small in humans. These otoliths allow fish to sense low-frequency sound. It is not known how acute walleye hearing is. However, we do know that they can hear the breaking of waves, the raindrops strumming the water, and the racket of anglers in the boat above. Walleye also possess a lateral line, a sensory organ on either side of the body that detects water movement about the body. Compared to other fish species, the walleye version of this organ is simple. Walleye likely use their lateral line to sense and detect movements of nearby prey, like a yellow perch trying to scoot to the side after a strike. Walleye have the sense of the distant touch, analogous to a bobcat's whiskers that feel for the deer mouse underfoot. Studies on walleye taste and smell are uncommon. Walleye have two nares on their snout, and it is likely they have a good sense of smell that aids in the detection of prey. Do they smell the blooming water milfoil flowers of summer? Do they smell the gasoline engine exhaust of fishing boats expelled into the surface waters through the hubs of spinning props? I do not know. Walleye have taste buds in their mouth and gills, and this sensory system is likely only used to determine whether what they caught is indeed food. Young hatchery walleye must be conditioned or habituated to eat non-living food, as the unnatural does not come naturally. Like many fish species, walleye have a gas bladder that is used to control their buoyancy. This organ consists of two thin membrane sacs located in the dorsal portion of the body cavity. In walleye, the gas bladder uses only their circulatory system. It may be a simple adaptation, but it is effective. The circulatory system, with a connected gas gland adjacent to the bladder, adds oxygen to the sacs to increase buoyancy, and dorsal veins and arteries remove oxygen to decrease buoyancy. A shortcoming of this buoyancy system is that it is slow, which limits walleye from moving up in the water too quickly. If forced to raise too fast, the organ is stressed and could be damaged. Some fish species, like trout, have a gas bladder adapted for quick ascents. A connection between the gas bladder and the gut allows the bladder to be emptied by burping gas and to be filled by gulping air. Walleye are sometimes confused with sauger and yellow perch, as all three are in the perch family. Persidae. Sauger are very similar in size and shape to walleye. However, sauger have definite horizontal rows of black spots on the membranes of the spiny dorsal fin, a black blotch at the base of the pectoral fins, and lack the distinctive white tip of the lower tail fin of a walleye. Sauger have a more reflective eye than walleye, so are better adapted to dim light conditions or turbid water than walleye. Yellow perch have 6 to 8 wide, dark vertical bars on the side of the body and a smaller anal fin than that of walleye. Their body is deeper, and they lack the large canine-like teeth that walleye have. Yellow perch eyes do not reflect and have rod and cone photosensitive cells that have evolved to see in lighted conditions. Yellow perch feed during the day and rest at night. Perch and walleye are opposites in this regard. In the shallow shoals at twilight, with perch going out and walleye coming in, the walleye sees the perch, and the perch fears what may exist in the shadows. The perch is right to fear, as the walleye diet is often dominated by their kind. While the description of the walleye can be anthropomorphized in a negative or positive light, this fish is a result of millions of years of never-ending simple tests of survival. Walleye have no opinion of humans and demand nothing from them. They live to survive and reproduce, so they consume what they need. Humans, however, have peerless wants that unfortunately result in pollution and global-scale alteration. The further we remove ourselves from other nature, the more stressed we become. In their storms of detachment, the privileged yell their hypocrisy, the majority finds that they are last, and the rest of nature gasps. While this medley occurs, of course, people eat fish. And why not eat the best? It is not surprising that many walleye fishing stories include a description of how the walleye were prepared for eating, or a recipe or two. Walleye have a clean, sweet flavor, and their white, finely flaked meat is firm and moist, yet delicate, quite distinctive from salmon's rich, large-flaked dark fillets and Atlantic cod's dense, flaky white meat. Unlike northern pike, walleye fillets have few bones. A modest-sized walleye produces a pair of perfect fillets, which can be pan-fried, baked, broiled, used in a chowder, or, heaven forbid, deep-fried. To follow the tradition of writings on walleye, here is a walleye recipe. Walleye fillets. Sauger or yellow perch may be substituted, but then it is not a walleye recipe. Butter. 1/2 cup of water or milk. 1 egg. Cracker crumbs or cornmeal. Bread crumbs are also suitable. Seasonings, tartar sauce, or lemon if desired. Better not to add salt than to oversalt. Actually, I would avoid using seasonings and lemon. In a container, beat egg with water or milk. Drop fillets into the mixture. Take fillets out and drop them in a container of cracker crumbs or cornmeal until coated evenly. Melt butter in a hot cast iron skillet. Ease the fillets into the skillet and cook to a light brown on both sides, about 3 to 6 minutes per side. Don't overcook. Remove the fillets from the skillet when the meat is white and tender. Take time to thank the walleye, and then eat. Besides nourishment, several other reasons explain people's fascination with walleye. Fascination arises from familiarity, but limited contact. First, walleye live in the big waters of the eastern United States and much of Canada, so many anglers are aware of their presence. The heart of the walleye mother water currently consists of the waters of the Laurentian Great Lakes region and the Mississippi River watershed. Their range extends from the Mackenzie River Delta of the Northwest Territories in Canada, just before it enters the Arctic Ocean, southeast to the Appalachians of the eastern United States. Walleye can be found in the cool waters from the New River Gorge National Park and Preserve in West Virginia to the Wood Buffalo National Park of Canada and beyond. With stocking, walleye have now populated waters in Montana, Idaho, and the Pacific Northwest. They inhabit the Columbia River. They swim the warmer waters of Lake Meredith of North Texas. They wander the dark and mighty submerged floodplains of the diminished Colorado River in Lake Mead. Second, since walleyes are near the top of the food web pyramid, they are rarely abundant. The hunt for walleye drives passion. When angling is challenging, but wild success possible, many anglers are captivated by the fish that can provide such an experience. Bluegill are often the most sought-after fish where they occur in abundance, yet it is walleye that catch our fascination. It is walleye that we attempt to insert into food webs of bass lakes and faraway waters. Is it human nature to desire the large prize and the inferred majesty of an animal of high trophic class? For walleye, the hunt just might be for the perfect fillets. While walleye is not a globally important fish species for human food, they have been and continue to be critical to local communities. Humans have been catching and eating walleye since they arrived at the shorelines of rivers and lakes, supporting walleye populations. And it is reasonable to ask if our fishing for them has changed their character. Walleye are vulnerable to capture in the spring when they come into shallow water en masse to reproduce. They spawn on cobble or rubble-covered shallows, where eggs are protected in cracks and crevices and are not swept downstream or offshore to low-oxygen waters. Presumably, the first arriving humans focus their...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?